This is Dr. Cassieri from Andersonville Baptist Seminary. As we continue in the course entitled The Doctrine of Christ, last time we were together we began lesson number 4, which is entitled The Deity of Christ, Arguments Against It. And we began to look at some arguments that come up against the deity of Christ and to refute those arguments using Scripture. And if you're looking on your course outline, we're under, of course, Roman numeral number 4, the deity of Christ, arguments against it. Point number B, we're looking at arguments against the deity of Christ examined. So let's continue, let's pick up. So far we've looked at 3 arguments against the deity of Christ. Now argument number 4 is this. Christ is not God, because Hosea 11:9 says that God is not a man, while Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 2 says that man is not God. Let's look at those scriptures together right now. First we want to look at Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11 with me. In Hosea chapter 11, in verse number 9, we read this. Hosea 11, verse 9. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God, and not man. The word of God says in Hosea 11:9, the Lord speaking, for I am God and not man. And then let's look at Ezekiel chapter 28 in verse number 2. Ezekiel 28 verse number 2. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. So again, the argument against the deity of Christ in this particular situation is Christ is not God, because as we just read in Hosea 11:9, it says that God is not a man, while Ezekiel 28 verse 2 says man is not God. Well, Hosea does not say that God could not assume human form of body and flesh. And according to the word of God, nothing is too hard for God, is it? Looking in Jeremiah chapter 32 with me. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32 in verses 17 and 18. Jeremiah 32 verses 17 and 18. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And is there nothing too hard for thee? Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. So nothing is too hard for God, is it? And he can. And he can be manifest in the flesh, and he was. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Argument number 5 we want to look at. Argument number 5 says, Christ is not God because he called God his Father. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, in John chapter 20 verse 17, Let's look at those scriptures together. First, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter number 27 with me. In Matthew chapter 27, in verse number 46. Matthew 27, verse 46, the Word of God says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter number 20 with me, in verse number 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse number 17. We read in John chapter 20, verse 17, "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Well, again, we're looking at the argument against the deity of Christ based on where it says that Christ is not God because he called God his Father. Well, Jesus, as the human person, called God his Father. However, God in Hebrews chapter 1 calls Jesus God, but that does not lessen the Father's position of deity. Look it with me. In Hebrews chapter 1, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8 with me. In Hebrews 1 we read in verse 8, "But unto the Son he saith, Thou throne, O God, is forever in ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom." So we see here that God calls Jesus God, calls the Son God. But of course that does not lessen the Father's position of deity. Another argument, as we continue, argument number 6, is that Christ is not God because the Father sent him to earth. We see this in John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8 with me in verse number 42. We read this, "Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Again, the argument against the deity of Christ is that Christ is not God because the Father sent him to earth. Now, the Father sending the Son to earth, and of course Jesus volunteered to come, does not lessen his position as being the Almighty God. Let's look in Luke chapter 19 with me. Luke chapter 19 for a moment. We want to look at Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, let's look at verse number 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Notice what it says with me, please. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Of course, the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. And the reason he came to seek and save that which was lost. Only God himself can save that which is lost. Amen. Now look at also in 1 Timothy chapter 1. in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 with me. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 with me, please. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we want to look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And of course, here we have the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's telling us that the reason that Jesus Christ came into the world was to save sinners. And of course, God is the only one that can save sinners. So again, we see that here we have Jesus Christ is God, Almighty God. You know, just because the Father sent him sent him, and he came voluntarily, and he volunteered to come, does not lessen his position as being the Almighty God. Let's look at one more place in Galatians chapter 4 with me. And in Galatians chapter 4, we want to look at verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Again, the only one that can redeem a lost sinner is God himself. And again, here we have in the context that that's why God sent his Son, amen, to redeem sinners. So again, saying that Jesus Christ redeemed sinners, and only God can do that. Again, we see that, even though the Father did send him, and again, Jesus volunteered to come, that doesn't lessen his deity as Almighty God. Another argument against the deity of Christ, argument number 7, is this. Christ is not God because he appeared with flesh. And since Jesus is flesh, bones, and blood, he is merely a man and no more. Now let's look at Scripture for a moment. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Again, the argument, number 7, the argument against the deity of Christ is Christ is not God because he appeared with flesh. And since Jesus is flesh and bones and blood, he's merely a man and no more. 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, we read in verses 2 and 3, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So we see the scriptures that said Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. In verse 3, And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So we see clearly in 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 tells us that, yes, Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. Amen. Now, also in 2 John chapter 7, we read, For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Again, 2 John verse 7 tells us that Jesus Christ indeed did come in the flesh. Now, does this make him not God? Well, Jesus Christ assumed flesh, bones, and blood merely for the incarnation. As God, he is eternal spirit. But to be our Redeemer, it was necessary that he become partaker of humanity. Amen? That's why Jesus Christ can relate to our temptations and our problems and what we undergo as human beings, because he took on the form of human flesh so that he could relate to us. Amen. So we could understand what we've gone through. He faced the same temptations that you and I did, but without sin. Amen. Another argument against the deity of Christ, number 8 in our study, is Christ is not God because God is head, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 and see exactly what it has to say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse number 3, the Word of God says this: "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So again, the argument here, argument number 8 against the deity of Christ, is Christ is not God, because God is head, according to what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. In the triumvirate, it is necessary that one be the chairman, but that does not mean that he is greater than the other two. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equal, but for administrative purposes, the Father acts as the executive administrator. Argument number 9 against the deity of Christ in our study is Christ is not God because he is called man in John 8 verse 40 and 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. Let's look at that for a moment. Let's look at those places in scripture there. First, we want to look at the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. The Gospel of John, chapter number 8, in verse number 40. John 8, 40. "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Again, Jesus said, "But now you seek to kill me, a man." And look in 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy with me, chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says this, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." So then again, argument number 9 against the deity of Christ is that Christ is not God because he is called man in John chapter 8, verse 40, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Well, Jesus was both true God and true man in one person without an intermingling of two natures. In fact, we told that his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen. So we see then, as we refute that argument, that just because Christ is, it says that Christ, the argument is Christ is not God because he's called man in John chapter 8, verse 40, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, doesn't mean that he wasn't God. He was God and he was man. He was true God and true man in one person without the intermingling of the two natures. Amen. So yes, he was God, and he was also man. That's a mystery. Can't fully explain it, but by faith we can accept it. Amen. Alrighty, we want to continue as we look in this lesson on arguments against the deity of Christ. Argument number 10, which says Christ is not God, but he is a son of God, just as we may become sons of God. Okay. Oh, let's look at that argument and refute that. By conversion, we become a son of God. By conversion, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a son of God. This is according to the Word of God in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verse number 12. Let's look at that. John chapter 1, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So an individual becomes a son of God when he receives Jesus Christ by faith. Amen. And God gives him that power to become a son of God to them that believe on his name. But Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Look with me in that great verse of Scripture, John 3:16, which says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is certainly a unique and special position. Amen? God's Son is equal to the Father. Now look at in Philippians chapter 2 with me for a moment. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, we see in verse 6. Philippians 2, verse 6, talking about Jesus, who being in the form of God, that's Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So God's Son is equal to the Father, and the saint becomes an heir with Christ. Amen? Okay, argument number 11. Let's examine this one against the deity of Christ. Christ is not God because the Father gave him power, according to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Let's see what that has to say. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. Matthew 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So we see that the power was given to him. Now how do we refute that? Well, in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8, the Son surrenders his power and God restores or returns it to him after the resurrection. It was always his, but he voluntarily yielded it. Let's look at what the Word of God has to say in Philippians chapter 2 with me. Again, we're in lesson number 4, and we're looking at the various arguments that folks come up against the deity of Christ, and we're refuting them with Scripture. Philippians chapter 2 with me. In Philippians chapter 2, we want to look at verses 5 through 8 together. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8 says, that he was God, he was equal with God, but he surrendered that power that he had. He made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in the form and the likeness of man. And being found fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he gave up that power. He voluntarily yielded that power so he could be the supreme sacrifice for the payment of the sins of the world. Argument number 12 against the deity of Christ. Christ is not God because he was made Lord by God in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Well, let's see what Acts chapter 2, verse 36 has to say. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Well, again, the argument against the deity of Christ here is this. Christ is not God because he was made Lord by God in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. It is not made in the sense of a promotion. In other words, he was not made Lord in a sense of a promotion. For though he always was God, the Father takes this opportunity to proclaim this fact to all humanity. Amen. So it was made, he was made Lord, not in the sense of a promotion. For though he was always God, amen, the Father is taking the opportunity to proclaim this fact to all of humanity, amen. Argument number 13 against the deity of Christ. Christ is not God because he is subject to God according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. Alrighty, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse number 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28 says this. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Well, again, the argument is Christ is not God because he's subject to God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 28. Well, we can refute this by saying this. This does not refer to Christ's nature, but rather to his position. Christ voluntarily chose subjection. It was not imposed on him against his will. Argument number 14 against the deity of Christ. Christ is not God because Christ died, and God is immortal and cannot die. Let's examine this. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And of course, this verse of Scripture is showing that God is immortal and cannot die. Looking in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 with me. In verse 46. Luke 23, 46. Let's look and see what it has to say there. Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So here we see a scripture showing the death of the Lord and commanding his spirit to God. And then in Acts chapter 2, let's see what it says there in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. In Acts 2, verse 32, of course, this is the great sermon of Peter at the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. And it says, This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Again, showing that Christ indeed die. But how do we refute that? Well, Jesus as man died, but Jesus as God could not and did not die. Look at what it says with me in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 2 first. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 in verse number 9 we read, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And then in verse 14, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So we see that Jesus as man died, but Jesus as God could not die. And it is the physical body that dies. We see that his spirit does not die, for it returns to God. So he became flesh, amen, we know that, and he died, why? To save us. But he, spirit did not die, amen. That spirit returned to God. So Jesus Christ is God and always has existed, and he is immortal, and he cannot die. But the flesh he was in died. Amen. All righty, let's look at argument number 15 against the deity of Christ, which says Christ is not God because he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And as a creature of the Holy Spirit, he is therefore neither God nor creator. Well, let's see, first of all, Matthew chapter 1 is where I believe where the argument comes from in Scripture against the deity of Christ. Matthew chapter 1, in verses 18 through 20, we read, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, how do we refute that? Well, the humanity of Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit. The deity of Christ has always existed. Amen. Jesus existed long before the Virgin Mary. Look at in John. We see this in John chapter 1 in verses 1 and 2. The Gospel of John chapter 1 in verses 1 and 2. We read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And of course, we know the Word is none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty, let's see now. Let's look at, as we continue to look at our arguments against the deity of Christ, we want to look at argument number 16. Argument number 16, and that says, as we look at that, Christ is not God because he prayed to the Father and addressed him as the only true God. Let's look at the scriptures that this argument is based upon. John chapter 17 first. John chapter 17 in verse number 3. Word of God says this, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 6. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. So the argument based on these verses is that Christ is not God because he prayed to the Father and addressed him as the only true God. While this objection ignores the fact that the Son coexists with the Father, they are one. They are one in nature, eternal spirit, but distinct as to the office and responsibilities. The Father and Son are indivisibly linked together. Let's look at some verses of Scripture on that together. Let's first look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, chapter 11 with me. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 11, in verse number 27, we read this. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So we see that this is showing that the Father and Son are indivisibly linked together. Now in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 and verse 22, Luke 10, verse 22 with me. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Again, the same thing reinstated in the Gospel of Luke, which again shows that the Father and the Son are indivisibly linked together. One more place in the Gospel of John. John chapter 12, in verse number 45. John 12, 45. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Jesus is saying, he that seeth me seeth he that sent me. Again, showing that the Father and Son are indivisibly linked together. Now let's look at, as we continue down here, let's look at argument number 17, which says, the argument, again, we're looking at the arguments against the deity of Christ. Christ is not God, for if he were, then there would be more than one God. It says, Christ is not God, for if he were, then there would be more than one God. And of course, what refutes that is the Trinity. Amen. With the Trinity, as we discussed, I know you've taken other courses on the doctrine of the Trinity, and again, the argument is Christ is not God, for if he were, there would be more than one God. And we know that we have the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Three persons in one being. Amen. The Trinity. So that refutes that argument. Argument number 18. Christ is not God because he was only an idea, will, or purpose of God, having no material existence or material form in the beginning. And of course, this is perhaps, let me read that again, this argument number 18. Christ is not God because he was only an idea, will, or purpose of God, having no material existence or material form in the beginning. And this is perhaps a play on words in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. But verse 1 answers it definitely and authoritatively. The Word, Jesus, was God. The Word, Jesus, was God. Again, now let's look at argument number 19. Christ is not God, because in John 14:28 he says, "My Father is greater than I." Look in John chapter 14, verse 28. John chapter 14, verse 28, we read, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. And if you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Well, how do we refute this argument? Well, again, what we're reading here in John chapter 14 and verse 28 refers to Christ's position, Jesus' position, and certainly not to his being or nature. Positionally, Jesus has chosen a position in subjection to God the Father. Amen. And let's look at, as we come down to the last argument, argument number 20, against the deity of Christ, which says this: Christ is not God, for though he is one with God, that refers merely to one in pastoring, shepherding, teaching, and judgment, but not one in the Godhead. Let's look at that again. Christ is not God, for though he is one with God, that refers merely to one in pastoring, meaning shepherding, teaching, and judgment, but not one in the Godhead. Well, how do we refute that? Well, we refute that by saying this: the Father and Son are one God, but two persons, coexisting as Jehovah God. The Father was Jehovah of the Old Testament. Amen. And Jesus is the Jehovah in the New Testament. Let's look at Psalm 23, verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1. Of course, that great Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And of course, the Lord in the Bible is all caps, meaning Jehovah God, God the Father. But this is the same Lord as Jesus here. We can say today in the New Testament, "The Lord is my shepherd, amen, I shall not want." Jesus is the Jehovah in the New Testament. Look at in John chapter 10 with me. John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10 in verse 11. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As we said, the Lord is my shepherd. See, it's the same Lord, Jesus Christ, that was there in Psalm 23. Look in Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Again, Jesus Christ is here is referred as that shepherd that we see Jehovah God is the Lord is my shepherd in Psalm 23:1. Then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 says, "For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." Again, that shepherd here in the New Testament is Jesus Christ, reference to Jesus Christ. Again, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, in Psalm 23:1. And then we want to look one last place, Revelation 7, verse 17. Revelation 7, verse 17 says, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Again, referring to Jesus Christ, the great shepherd here in the New Testament. And we can conclude our lessons, or this lesson here, number four on the arguments against the deity of Christ, by saying this, that Jesus Christ is God. He is Jehovah. The Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And yes, we can satisfactorily answer all arguments against his deity with the Word of God. Amen. And praise God for that. Well, this ends lesson number four on the deity, the arguments against the deity of Jesus Christ. And this ends tape number three, side one.